we've been going through a series called Countercultural, and in this series, we've just been looking at the truth that transformed people live transformed lives, because there are cultural principles that are ungodly that we have to reject, and we have to say yes to kingdom principles. We have been on a journey just discovering what Jesus is saying or what Jesus is doing that shows us of how we can be countercultural by saying yes to the kingdom principles and saying no to the norms of this world that are ungodly. We're doing studies here, but we're also doing studies in our growth group. So as Edith was saying, it is good for you to be part of a growth group, because there's just a lot to learn that Jesus Christ is calling us of how we can be countercultural as we're living our lives in this world. So today, I will be looking at Jesus Christ calls us to be countercultural by being generous in the midst of scarcity. Being generous in the midst of scarcity. And we're in Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 to 21. Matthew 14, verse 13 to 21. And we're going to read this passage together. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. God, we pray that your word will come alive this morning. We ask for your spirit, who is always at work, that he would just illuminate your truth this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In case you don't know, but according to the report that came in June this year by IMF, rates Malawi to be the 3rd poorest country in the world. We just rank above Burundi and South Sudan. You don't have to go very far in this country to notice that there is so much need around us. You don't have to go very far. Some of you, as you were coming on your way, coming to church, maybe it even started in your home, that there is already, you already encountered some type of needs this morning where people are lacking basic things. Or maybe you're driving and people are begging on the streets. Or maybe you went to KCH in the past week and people have no beds to sleep on in the hospital there. There's not enough medication. There's just a lot that is going on around us. So you don't have to go very far looking for needs. If people are lacking basic needs. 47 borders with Mtandire and Mtsiriza are just right there. You see the demarcation of those who are doing better and those who are not doing so well, those that are very poor. You just see it right here. So when you come face to face with needs, most especially overwhelming need, you run probably, I think, into two temptations. The first temptation is that you feel like you are the person that's been chosen to fix it, so you can do it all. So you easily see yourself as the person that can, you know, save the day. You can bring solutions to whatever need people are facing. And, you know, it's not always that you actually saying, "I am the person that will bring solutions to this thing." But actually, you know, it's always shown in the way that you react in the way that you react, probably maybe when you bring your ideas to the table and people oppose them, and the way you react and want to defend your ideas, that your way is the best way to fix this problem. That's where it shows. Or it shows in the way that you worry when you cannot fulfill the need or you cannot meet the need. And this is my one. This is my problem. I've in the past kind of shared my story of the time that I ran away from God. And one thing that really contributed to that was that I was unable to provide for my family. So I'm the second born in a family of seven, and I had about five siblings that I wanted to send to school and help them go through school. But I was at a position where I could not provide. I could not help. I could not send them to school. And I remember just days and days that I was just crying because I couldn't help my siblings. And in the end, I hated God and ran away from God. And just because I hated, I thought I was the person that was going to fix my siblings' problems. I was the one that was going to meet the needs of my extended family. And so this appears in so many ways. Not that you stand and be like, I'm the one that can fix it. But what you worry, how you worry when you cannot do it. When you cannot do it. And actually, this is built in pride. The pride that's grounded in a belief that God is too small to meet the needs of others except through you. It's pride. And I know some of you, friends, probably you kind of like relate to this, especially coming from this context where the pressures on older siblings is a lot, that you're kind of like required to provide for your family. And not that people are actually saying, please do it, but just because there's so much need, and then you already just carry that responsibility for you to take care of your extended family. So we can easily fall into this trap that we're the ones that can do it. But on the other side, you can also fall into the temptation of doing nothing at all. Because the need is so much, you feel like, you know what? My help is just kind of like a drop in the ocean. Like there's nothing else that can change. Even if I, bring my resources, there's nothing that can actually change. There's nothing that can change. So why bother? Why actually do anything? But also this is also kind of grounded in pride. Pride that God is too small, that he cannot fulfill the needs, even with the little that you have. So what's the third way? The third way is that we look up to God, that we do what we can, but we let God do what he can. That we do what we can with the little that we have, but we give it to God so he can do what God can do. And better still, we give him because God will take our little gifts. God will take our little resources and he will use it. He will use it to reach out to more people than you can. He will use it to do more than you can. Now, in this passage that we have read today, the passage actually begins by saying, when Jesus heard the news, what was the news? The news is that his cousin had just been killed. His cousin, John the Baptizer. I know some of you want to call him the Baptist, but he's not Baptist, even Presbyterian either. He's not Presbyterian or Baptist. He was baptizing people. So John the Baptizer, he was put into prison. And when he was put into prison, there was a time when the king, Herod, organized a party. And when he organized a party, usually as per tradition, the daughters of the king would dance for the guests during the party. So Herod's daughter danced, and she danced so well that Herod was so impressed and the guests were so impressed. And Herod says, you know what? Ask me for anything and I'll give it to you. Ask me for anything. You can even ask, part of the kingdom where you want to rule some part of the kingdom. You can even ask for that and I'll give it to you. So he makes this promise in the presence of his guests. And the story also goes that Herod's wife wanted John the Baptizer dead. But Herod was so afraid because people considered John as a prophet. so he didn't want to kill a prophet of God. But now the daughter has been given this promise that she can ask for anything. So she goes to her mom to ask for advice. What should I ask for? And the mom says, ask for the head of John the Baptizer. So she goes and tells the father that, give me the head of John. And because he made a promise in the presence of the guest, he goes on, kills John, and brings his head to his daughter. So Jesus hears this news, painful news, terrible news, and it's so terrible because John is a cousin to Jesus. So Jesus, having been going through this painful time, wanted to have time to mourn and grieve the death of his cousin, he decides to go away. He wanted just some kind of like alone time. So he goes away. And the Bible says when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. When Jesus heard about the death of his cousin, he wanted just to be left alone. Let me just go and be left alone. I want to just be alone. This is it. But as he was reaching to that place, this is what happens. Let me just read verse 13 and 14. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So you just want to be alone, be left alone. But as he was just arriving at this place, people already heard that Christ was going to this place, and they gathered in thousands. And when Jesus was reaching the place, he sees kind of like these thousands of people, and the Bible says he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. In other words, Jesus Christ decides to put his grieving on hold. He decides to put his mourning on hold. And I'm wondering, how can you be compassionate? How can you show love? How can you show kindness when you yourself are going through a painful moment? When you yourself are going through moments that is so painful? When you have to mourn? When you are going through troubles that are wrecking your soul, how can you be so generous? When Jesus looked at them, he had compassion. Even though he himself was going through a hard time, even he himself was mourning and grieving. And I think here is the lie. I think the lie is that often we want to be generous during the times that we feel everything is good. Everything is perfect. Or in other words, the people that help you, the people that are generous to you, does not mean that they do not have their own problems. Does not mean they do not have their own needs. So therefore, our own needs, our own lack, cannot be a determining factor of whether we should be generous or not. Cannot be a determining factor whether we should be generous or not. Compassion is what drove Jesus Christ to heal the sick, even when he himself needed the healing of his own emotions. So sometimes we are afraid to be compassionate because we know that when we are compassionate will actually disturb the routine of our lives, because often compassion is an inconvenience. It is easy for us to be motivated by convenience rather than to be moved by compassion. When we are faced with needs, most especially needs that God wants us to pay attention to, when we are faced with those needs, we have a choice. A choice between convenience and compassion. Are you going to choose the easier way or the hard way? Because in this case, when Jesus showed compassion, it was an inconvenience to his time of grieving and mourning. Now let's look further and how the story kind of like unfolds. Verse 15, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's cold and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to their villages, to the villages and buy themselves some food." So when the crowds came to Jesus Christ and he looks on them with compassion and mercy, he begins to heal their sick. But also in other passages, it says that he was teaching them all kinds of things. So it was a long conference, started in the morning. And Jesus Christ is going at it. He is healing, but also he is speaking truth to these people. But now it's getting late and the disciples are saying, "Actually, you know what? Let's get the people out of this place. Let us have them go to a village so they can buy food to feed themselves because it's getting late." But this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Now, when I read this story, when I look into what is happening, first of all, there's more than 5,000 people here. Some people estimate either 12,000. Some even say 20,000. But we know it's more than 5,000. That's a lot of people. The disciples saying, "You know what, let these guys go into the village and buy food for themselves." I think it is the most logic thing. Let's not be hard on disciples because we kind of like know how the story unfolds. But I think this is kind of like, there's a lot of people. And if they got themselves here, they can walk back. They can get themselves back home. So let them go find food for themselves because, it is the most logical thing to do. But this is the easier thing to do. This is when the disciples were given a choice. Jesus Christ also had a choice of compassion or convenience. And Jesus looked at this situation and he chooses the hard part of it. He says, no. I'm not going to let you guys off the hook. Because what the disciples are actually saying is that, you know what? These guys are hungry. Hunger is their own problem. Let them sort out their own problems. Let them sort this problem by themselves. Let them do it. We don't have to worry about what is going on with them. They can go and take care of themselves. But Jesus Christ says, no. We have to show compassion. And this meant there will be an inconvenience. Because when Jesus Christ says, you feed them, you know what that means? That means the disciples will have to be on their feet looking around, looking for food to feed these guys. That's an inconvenience. They have been sitting with Jesus for a long time, hearing him, and now they have to get up and go looking for food. And they find, Matthew does not say, but we know in John that actually there was a young boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they sought the food from this young boy. So they had to go. That's an inconvenience, looking for food. Also, they had to count of how many people were there. That's an inconvenience. You know, we had a full festival and we created these wristbands to help us count the numbers of that people who come. It was an easier way because we just knew how many wristbands we had and how many went. So we could count. But I don't know what they used to count. They had no drones so that they could count. But they had to. That's an inconvenience. They had to sit people down. John says they had to sit them in numbers of either 50 or hundreds. They had to sit them down. That's an inconvenience. These are thousands of people. After sitting them down, then they have to serve them food. They have to serve them food. They have to distribute the food to the people, over 5,000 people, because they sat them down them first and then were going around giving them food. And then the people eat. And I actually, this story there's kind of like a lot that's kind of like left to our own imagination, you know, because in scripture you cannot write every single bit, otherwise it would not be enough. But at the end, the disciples are collecting, you know, the leftovers, and I'm like, come on, 5,000 men ate, and then they did not help to collect the food? What's going on? But anyway, the disciples were the ones that were collecting the food in the end. That's an inconvenience. So are you motivated by convenience or are you moved by compassion? More especially when you are faced with a need. Are you going to be moved by convenience? What is easier? Or are you going to be moved by compassion? Because here's the thing, generosity changes us. Generosity will change you. If you're going to choose to be compassionate, if you're going to choose to be generous, that will change you. It will be an inconvenience to you. Sometimes we want to be generous with our resources. We want to be generous with our money, but we don't want it to leave a dent in our pockets. We don't want it to leave a dent in our bank account. But generosity will change you. It will change your lifestyle. It will change. It will put a dent on your finances. If God is calling you to pay attention to a need that requires a financial assistance. We want to be generous with our time. We want to be generous with our time, but without really having it affect our schedule. We still want to keep our routines. We still want to keep our schedule to the letter. But when you are generous with your time, it will change you. There will be something that will come in. There will be an inconvenience. You want to be generous with your service. You want to serve God and be generous in your service to God. But you want to do it without sweating. You want to do it without getting your hands dirty. But if you're going to choose the way of compassion, it will definitely bring some sort of change. It will definitely affect you in one way or another because it is often an inconvenience. We want to be generous with our homes. We want to show hospitality to other people, bring them in into our house. But we don't want them. We don't want the mess that the people bring. The stinking toilets and all kinds of things. We don't want the mess that somebody will bring. We don't want to risk them breaking our china and all. But when you're going to be generous, when you're going to show compassion to people, it will be an inconvenience. So if our generosity will be moved by compassion, it will surely affect us. We will surely feel the weight of our compassion. Something will definitely change. Now, I know that there's so much need around us. There's a lot of need around us, and sometimes you feel just drained, just wrecked even emotionally, just thinking of what's going on. So sometimes you just kind of like shut down, you know? You don't just kind of like shut down. You don't want to see the need around you. You don't want to get yourself emotionally involved because of what's happening. But because it is hard, maybe that's where God is calling us. Maybe that's the place that God is actually calling us that would bring our limitedness to Him. That we recognize that we are limited. We recognize it is hard. We recognize our resources are not enough, but we give it to Jesus Christ so that we can experience His unlimitedness. For He can do more with our little gifts. And that's our choice. Our choice is to recognize that we are limited, but we turn to the unlimited God. He takes as little as 2 fish and 5 loaves, and He feeds over 5,000 people. He does. So we will do what we can, but we give it to God, we give it to Jesus, so that He can do what He can. Because we know that God can do immeasurably more. Immeasurably more than we can. Immeasurably more than we can. More than we can ever think, or imagine. We give it to Him. So some of you, maybe you've been thinking. Some of you have been thinking to support that person, to bring them maybe into your home. But you know that this will put a dent in your finances. Will you trust Jesus? Will you trust Jesus by choosing compassion? Will you trust Jesus to be inconvenienced? Or will you choose the easier way and give excuses? Some of you, God is calling you to bless that school, to bless that church, to bless that organization, or that person. And you know that this will actually pose some challenges around your plans. But are you going to choose, are you going to give excuses and choose the easier way, or are you going to allow yourself to be inconvenienced? Some of you, God is calling you to give up something so that you can help someone else. Maybe He's calling you today, sooner. And you know that this act of compassion will definitely be an inconvenience. But will you let your excuses hinder you? Or will you let Jesus Christ take charge? Will you? Now, you know, when you read this passage and you kind of go on with the story, later on, you know, so Jesus Christ kind of feeds the 5,000 plus, and, you know, He goes, finally, actually, Christ goes away, and He's alone. Then He meets His disciples on a boat. Remember when Christ walks on water? After that story, the crowds learned that Christ is in another place. So they go there, but He was not there. He was in another place. So they return and they go to this other place and they find Him. I know what? Jesus Christ calls them out because these people came to Jesus for food. Yeah. They came to Jesus and Jesus calls them out and says, you know what? I know you're coming here not that you want to receive the true food that gives you life, but because we fed you that time and you're thinking of the same. Now, when I look into that, you know, I know either it has happened to some of you, but I know personally I've experienced it, that sometimes when you're compassionate to people, there will be times when people will take your compassion for a ride. There'll be times when people will, you know, will take you for granted because you're giving them something. It's happened, you know, before when, you know, you're helping someone else go through school and then the school is like asking for them to either maybe pay for their examination or something like that. And maybe it's like 2,000 kwacha, but they come to you and say the school needs 20,000 kwacha. Sometimes people can take our generosity, our compassion for a ride. But when I think about that, is that a hindrance to us? Should we not be compassionate then because people will take our compassion for a ride? And here's the thing, whenever I think about being generous to someone else, I'm always thinking that, you know, it is their life that will change. You know, it is them that will be affected. God will show His goodness to them. But what if God is actually doing something in us? What if it is God who is working in us? Because here's the thing, guys. We have to be willing to be generous. We have to be willing to show what the kingdom of God is like, even to people that do not believe in the kingdom. We have to be willing to be generous and show what the kingdom of God is like, even to people that hate the kingdom. We have to. We have to. But sometimes when we show compassion, maybe there's something else that God is doing in us. What if our generosity, what if us showing compassion and kindness to others is God is actually using that to change us? What if God is using that to change us? What if God is doing something in us? Because I see other disciples, as they were looking for food, what if trust was being built in them? To trust Jesus to provide the food, to trust God to provide the food. As they were counting the people, what if patience was being built in them? Because there's a lot of people to count. What if as they were saving and collecting food, what if a heart of praise was being built in them when they were just distributing the food and just everybody was just having it and was like, come on, oh, praise God. Look at what God is doing. Oh, look what God, oh, no, my basket is still full. Oh, mine too. Oh, praise the Lord. And they're distributing that to the people. What if something else was being changed to them when they allowed God to work in them, even though it was an inconvenience? What if something is happening in us? And think of the boy, hey? Think of the boy, maybe his mom or maybe himself, he baked the bread. A couple years ago, we went to Mozambique, and one of the things that the people cherish there is the bread, Mozambican bread, because there's a lot of people that actually bake their own bread and sell it. So it's kind of like fresh, you know, from these ovens made out of mud and stuff like that. And it's really nice bread. Maybe it was like that, and they had baked this, you know, bread and cooked the fish. But his five loaves and two fish, now he's feeding 5,000. What does that do to him? How does he now view God's kingdom, God's heart, Jesus' heart? Something definitely changed in this boy. What if when we are compassionate, what if God is actually doing something in us? The Jesus way is that we take our little gifts to him, for him to use for his glory. For we know he is unlimited in his abilities and he can do more with the little that we have. Jesus can do more for more with the little that we give him. He can do more for more with the little that we give him. So maybe think of a place that God is calling you this week to put his kingdom on display. By showing his kindness to those he's calling you to show kindness to. Because when you look at the cross of Jesus Christ, we see a God who chose to be inconvenienced. You know, Jesus Christ leaves his comfort zone. Actually, he leaves a place of glory. He is God, but he chooses to be in a human body. Which meant that when he's in one town, he's actually in one town. He chose to be inconvenienced, to be limited for that time. He chooses it. He chooses to be inconvenienced so that he could save many. And when he's on the cross, he dies, he even chooses to lose his own life. Generosity will cost us. And we know that we take it from our master where it costed Jesus even his own life. He never chose the easier way. You remember in Gethsemane when he was about to die, he says, God, if it is possible, please take this cup away from me. But not my will, but your will be done. Was he going to choose the easier way or the harder way? And he chose the harder way. There's a song I love called The Opposite Way by Leland. It says, Jesus Christ did not choose the norm. He chose the opposite way. The opposite way of dying on the cross. The opposite way of giving up his life. And when he chose that life, he made it easier for us. And sometimes the opposite way, the one that's beyond the norm, cultural norms, the one that's above excuses is the way of Jesus. So are you going to be built? Are you going to be grounded in excuses, choosing the easier way? Or are you going to choose the way of Jesus Christ? Choose compassion. And know that sometimes when you're compassionate, you will be inconvenienced. But that's the way of God. That's the way of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. For we know that you're calling us to show compassion, to be kind to those around us. And wherever, God, you're calling each one of us, I pray that you will help us. Help us to choose your way. And there will be times when it will be hard. But we know, Lord, that you are at work. So we look up to you, the perfect one. We look up to you, the one who is perfect. And we look up to you as an example that you chose to be inconvenienced, that you chose the harder way so you could make it easier for us to choose you. So we choose you, and help us, God, to choose you. In Jesus' name.